Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Leese. Busy show for you. Let's get right to it. Glenn Leist here with us from WT Wealth Management. We went over last time in part one, kind of an outlook, and Glenn has this great report out looking at, ahead at 24. And you can go back, look up Intelligent Investing, and check out that podcast, check out all the information there. But as always, I like to get into with you, Glenn, kind of some of the things that people can do to maybe position themselves in a better spot. And I think one of those questions that a lot of people have is, where do I start, or how much money do I need to start when it comes to really investing in anything? And I kind of left off last week with the whole, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? Well, it would have been 30 years ago, because now it's big and full. But the second best time would be right now, because before you know it, it's another 10, 20 years. And it's like, I wish I'd planted that thing.
Yeah. So to use a farming, you know, reference, if you're always waiting for the weather to be good to plant, you know, a seed or to start growing a crop, you know, you're never going to have a crop. Yeah. And, but because by the time things are finally looking good, you know, you haven't planted any seeds. So even amidst the, what you may call turmoil or volatility, now is always a good time to invest. And if you look at investing as a long term, and I say long term as at least, you know, minimum 4 years, 5 years or more. And a lot of people it's 10, 15, 20 years sort of thing. You know, the markets are a great place to build wealth and accumulate, you know, money for retirement or whatever the case may be. And if you think about the dynamics of owning a stock, say a company like Amazon, all I have to do is buy a share and I get to piggyback off of their success. I'm not the one having to be in the warehouse shipping all the stuff to the customers and, you know, doing the website and, but I get to share in their growth. And
you're a phenomenal shareholder.
Yeah.
You own a portion of that company. It might be a small portion.
Yeah. So I actually had my CPA say that one time. He said, you know, what a great country we have where you can piggyback on the success of all these other companies. So, and it's true. All you got to do is buy the share and, you know, not do any kind of panic selling or, you know, let emotions, you know, cloud your judgment in the process. But yeah, even if you started with a couple bucks, the sooner you start, the better. In fact, if you're, I'll paint a scenario to kind of tell you the difference. Say you're age 40 and you haven't saved anything yet and you start doing $400 a month. Well, in 20 years, if we use an 11% average return, which is pretty high, you know, mostly stocks, you'd have around $346,000, and that's on $96,000 contributions. If you're 30 and you start saving $200 a month, so half of what you're saving, but you do it for 30 years till age 60, same assumption, 11% return. Now you have $560,000. Now let's take it even 10 years back. If you're 20 and just start doing $100 a month from now till age 60, you'll have $860,000 at 11% interest.
That's assuming 11% return.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be, you know, like pretty much all stocks. Mm-hmm. But the power is $100 a month, man, at 18 or 20 or 21 to do that.
But nobody's smart at 20. That's the problem. That's why we try to like tell our kids and tell people listening and stuff. It's like, you got a time factor here. You had a huge time factor because when you were 20, you're $100. I'm
buying a new set of speakers. Yeah. For the car,
whatever you could buy for $100 back
supplements
then.
More. Or something. But so I think, if you're in that age bracket, taking it upon yourself to say, hey, look, one day I'm going to be 30, 40, 50.
And you will.
When I was 20, I was like, I'll never get old, but you know,
look at these old 40 something year olds.
Yeah. I still feel young at heart, but I'm, you know, 38 now. Mm-hmm. That would be one aspect, is just having the foresight to just put a little bit away. And the other thing is, maybe you're the parent and you didn't do that, but you want your kids to succeed, is, you know, maybe you sit them down and say, hey, I'm making the appointment for you. You may not understand all the ins and outs, but we're going to get you on a path of saving $100 a month in your Roth IRA and by the time you're 60, you're going to be very happy that we, you know, encouraged slashed volunteered, volunteered you to do that.
Yeah. Voluntold. That's a good one.
Yeah. And I don't think we do enough education as a society to, you know, educate people on the power of compounding interest to say, hey, look, you too can share in the, you know, compounding interest. And just get started. And so
even if it wasn't compounding, even just the fact of saving and cause we do that with our kids, we're like, okay, you made 20 bucks here. You can have this 10, but you need to put away this other 10.
Yeah.
And I mean, even taking out and 0% return, you know, a few months later or a year later, they're like, wow, you know, this is really added up. But then you add on compounded interest on top of that or returns on investment, whatever. It can be shocking what time can do on those.
Yeah. You know what phrase I haven't heard in my decade long, you know, time in this field is, Glenn, I've saved too much money. Or, Glenn, you made me too much money. And that's just never a conversation we have, because even some people that have done extremely well, you know, with money and saving, and, you know, they're not going to spend all the money, but there's things that they're passionate about. Maybe there's a charity or cause that they want to further the growth of, or maybe they just want to have a family legacy. Imagine if your great grandkids knew you because you've left behind a legacy and inheritance, you know, how powerful that could be. You know, there's a financial side of it, and then there's, you know, more components to that, but just even the financial side.
As long as you don't ruin them. Right.
Well, that's where working with me, we can put some checks and balances in place to make sure it's a blessing, and not a curse. Cause Glenn at 18, if someone just gave me a check for 100 grand,
oh man,
I would like to think that I would save it, invest it wisely, but I don't know. I mean, Glenn at 18 was hilarious, but you know, maybe not the same as Glenn now.
Yeah. Well, I think most of us can absolutely say that. I know we've done this in the past, Glenn, but just the basics of like what type of investments there are. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I know this, but I think you forget because there's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah. So, my wife, bless her heart, she's amazing at social media. She started a social media page for me, and we're doing some financial literacy, just kind of little tidbits.
Yeah.
She posts it and does it all. And so, but some of these tried and true, wisdom for investing is really phenomenal. And so one of them, you know, is what should I invest in? Well, you should invest in, one, things that you understand and know, and not put all your eggs in one basket. So, you know, diversification is huge. So, you know, I think of a real life example of maybe someone who worked for Enron, and they were getting a paycheck from Enron, but in addition to that, they were also buying, you know, Enron stock. So everything was wrapped up in that company, which, you know, didn't work so well out so well for the Enron, you know, employees, but maybe it was Tesla, you know, but that, you know, that's a lot of risk. If you, majority of your success is riding on the, you know, hopefully the success of the company. So you want to be spread across multiple different companies and owning them. And so there, you can buy individual stocks. You can buy a bucket, that represents lots of different investments. They call those mutual funds or ETFs. And that allows you to get diversification for, you know, very, very cost effective price. So say you buy a share of an ETF, it's $50, say, and in that ETF is 1,000 different companies that you own a tiny, tiny little sliver of. Well, you trying to go out and buy even 50 different companies, you're going to need at least like 40, 50 grand. But for $50, you can buy a share of that mutual fund ETF. So definitely you want to be diversified. And kind of my thought process on that is owning at least 25 different companies is kind of where I start to look at it and say, yeah, that's diverse.
So that way, if you get an Enron, you got 24 others to carry
exactly
along,
hopefully. And maybe it's a lot more than that, but that's where I would kind of start off with the minimum amount of stocks you should have, at least in my opinion. But yeah, and there's lots of different types of investments too. So we're talking about stocks of, you know, which is ownership, of a company. You own a share of them, and when they do well, your share increases in value. If the company maybe issues a profit back to their shareholders, that's called a dividend. You know, you get a little income coming in throughout the year too. So, but there's real estate investments, there's commodities, there's fixed income, you know, so like bonds or loans is a good way of putting it. I mean, there's a whole gamut. There's precious metals, there's gold, silver, lithium. So there's a lot of different things you can own. And so, you know, that's where someone like myself comes in to help you navigate those waters of how much should I have in stocks? How much should I have in bonds or real estate or commodities or, you know,
metals? I still don't get cryptocurrencies. I try, and I know there's a place for it, but I think still so many people look at it like, I still don't get it. But you've had guests on in the past talking cryptocurrencies as well, and yeah, people you work with.
Yeah, in fact, if the listeners out there have time, there's a book out called Going Infinite by Michael Lewis. It's all about Sam Bankman-Fried.
That's the guy who did like The Big Short, the author.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And those, yeah, he's a good writer.
Yeah. And I actually listened to it on Audible. So I did it while doing dishes and driving into work for the day. So I was like double dipping there. But even within that realm of people that were, you know, kind of on the ground floor, you know, with crypto, even for them, it's a little challenging to say, well, what exactly is cryptocurrency? I mean, really, it's a code on a computer screen,
yeah,
you know, that represents value.
For some reason.
For some reason, yeah.
You're listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least. If you want to talk with Glenn, give him a call right now at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. You can also email Glenn, gleast, that's G-L-E-E-S-T, gleast at WTWealthManagement.com. Don't go anywhere, more to come. Are you conservative and would like your investments to reflect those same principles? Glenn Least of WT Wealth Management wants to talk with you about how to match your portfolio with your values. If companies that are more concerned with their wokeness than successful business policies have been negatively impacting you and your investments, then it's time for a second opinion on your investment strategy. Glenn Least and WT Wealth Management have curated and launched a proprietary woke mitigation portfolio that features companies primarily focused on increasing shareholder value through profitable business operations and offering excellent goods and services, period. Glenn is a fiduciary who shares your values. Call Glenn for a complimentary woke mitigation portfolio review at 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. See how Glenn is putting the power back in the hands of his investors and making their portfolios great again. Call 928-225-2474. What's a good strategy for beginners? You know, as far as, you know, we talked about, hey, what do you start? What if you have $25? What if you have, what do you talk? And everybody's different. Everybody's situation is different. But in general, just beginners, what do you kind of throw out there for people?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways of slicing it. One is you just learn on your own. You go to the websites, you read the books, that sort of thing. Two is if you're working with an advisor, hopefully they are growing your investment knowledge at some level, you know, whether it's them explaining how the investments work or how this particular account works or taxes. I mean, a lot of what I do is frankly education, you know, with my clients is, okay, let's talk about, say, the Federal Reserve. What is it? How does it work? Let's talk about bonds. A lot of people hear bonds, but you're like, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
It's a fancy way of saying loan, you know, so that the loan, you know, What are the components of it? Well, how much are you borrowing? When are you paying me back? And what's the risk of you not paying me back? And based on that, I charge you according interest rate for the risk. Educating my clients has always been in everyone's best interest, because the more they know, the more they're able to make educated decisions, and more, frankly, they'll like what we're doing. So I guess the answer is there's a lot of different ways to go about doing it. You know, you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
Or you can piggyback off someone that's already done it for 10 years and, you know, has a lot of wealth of knowledge. So
you'll pay either way. No, I'm serious.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way of looking at
it. There was a time when I didn't have an advisor and I just thought I knew everything. And, you know, and I mean, that you pay for that as well. There's a time where I picked up a book, might even be in a studio here. I think it's right there. Options.
Ooh, yeah.
I worked some options and I blew through $5,000 pretty quick.
Yeah,
and
did you have some options expire worthless?
Oh, of course. And I mean, that's, you know, there's people that will say, hey, well, here's a great strategy. And you get into it and you're like, yeah, that wasn't worth the book I bought. But no, you pay for your education one way or the other. You have a solid set of advisors and people around you, or, or you're going to do the hard knocks way.
Yeah. Do it yourself and find out what not to do. And,
well, yeah, which
at the expense of your money. And so,
yeah, and time.
Sometimes, the worst thing that can happen for your do it selfer people, you know, that do it themselves and invest in their own, is they implement a bad investment strategy that, you know, ends up working, you know, and it does result, you know, produce success.
Because then
they think
on,
they can keep doing that.
Yeah.
And then eventually it blows up and it doesn't work. And that's where you're, you know, sometimes I see people pinch pennies to cost, you know, they're pinching pennies, but it's costing them dimes or dollars. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to pay for my advice and pay for me to manage their assets, but then they do it on their own and one mistake or one, you know, gut knee jerk reaction. And, you know, it would have been 5 or 6 years of my, what they would have paid me. And then just in one decision. So, not to tout myself, but I mean, they've done studies to look at what does the average advisor add as far as, performance, what's the additional value. And they say on average, an advisor will add a 4% performance increase per year. That's on average. And so some of it is, you know, making sure they make right, good tax decisions. Some of it's making sure they're invested properly. Sometimes I find people are underinvested, meaning they're in not enough stocks. Some of it is walking people, you know, helping people not make bad decisions. It's really easy and tempting to think you can time the market, meaning you can get out at the right time and get back in at the right time too. And it's not anything about like knowledge. That's just luck. Mm-hmm. And I found that out over the, you know, course of my career is every person, every client that has said, oh, I want to get out of the markets and go to cash. And I recommended them against it. Every one of them, it did not work out for because they ended up getting out and then getting back in at a higher price. So they were, you know, at the end of the day, they cost themselves money by doing that. Whereas if they had followed my advice and just stayed the course, they would have been, you know, sometimes it's a magnitude of 7 figures that, you know, people would have, you know, high 6 figures that people missed out on. And that's so unfortunate.
And you can't get that time back.
Yeah, you can get that time back. Yeah. And I don't want to like, you know, reach out to them and say, I told you so, because that's not helpful. But it's kind of like, well, you know.
Well, if they come back and they blame you and say, then that's when
you
say,
I told you this.
Yeah. But back to real quick, just the success sometimes early on. You know, I think back to like, remember the GameStop thing and the AMC thing and people were doing the meme stocks and all that. And some people did really well. And, and then they were like, wow, I'm kind of a genius. This has happened throughout time. And then they go into they wind up losing it all. And then even sometimes more so because they thought they knew more than they just got wrapped up in some luck or some bubble or something like that. Happens all the time.
Yeah. They were calling that YOLO. You only live once. And so I think that was the term they're using, which was like, they're saying, well, you know, getting the average return of 9 or 10%, that's just not enough. We need to go all in.
Going big, baby.
Going big, hopefully hitting that payday or hitting, you know, that number on the roulette table. That strategy.
Yeah.
If you're one of the few that, you know, that made it great, but what if you're the one of the many that it blew up on you?
Yeah. That's the thing though. Eventually it catches if you keep doing it though. You're going to get caught. It's not a good plan. Okay. So much here, Glenn, and, a great report and great part one that if anyone missed that as far as looking into 24 and some of your ideas of what's to come. I think people should listen back to that. Intelligent Investing, you can look that up with Glenn Least. You can call Glenn anytime at 928-225-2474, 928-225-2474. We didn't get to it all, but next time we'll hit more of the stuff as well. And Glenn's there for you if you want to chat and you talk about the price of groceries even.
Yeah. I tell people like, hey, look, if you want a second opinion, happy to provide it. If you're, you know, working with someone and you come in to see me just to get a second look, because I don't charge, you know, there's no cost, you know, to do an analysis. I'll tell you, hey, you know what? They're doing this pretty good. Or, you know, here's areas that we can maybe improve or maybe custom tailor it more to your situation. And that doesn't cost you anything. So, you know, I'm at the point in my career where I want to help people, but I don't have to bring on more clients. Like I've been very blessed to do very well and I want to help more people, but I'm not going to like pressure someone to say, oh, you got to sign right here. Because if you don't, I'm not going to have food on the table next week. That's just not where I am in my career.
And
so
food's getting expensive. So,
it's, oh my gosh, I was at Sprouts and it was like $9 for a loaf of bread.
I got caught up in one thing where I thought the price was on sale for like some deli meat at one place. And it was like, I was like, wow, $8 or whatever a pound, which is low. That's nowadays. And they forgot to discount it. And the normal price was $18 a pound for like some roast beef type stuff, some better cut, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I got home and I was just like, first of all, oops, I didn't catch the mistake. But second of all, $19, $18 for, you know,
yeah, there's a
pound of meat,
a Mexican food place that I love going to, but their tacos, any other, you know, most days of the week are astronomically expensive. Yeah. So the only time I go is Taco Tuesdays when they're discounted down. Cause otherwise I'm like $6 for a taco, for taco. Times eight tacos plus everything else. Man, that's pricey to, you know, sort of thing. So
hopefully give you a big pile of lettuce underneath of it. So you can actually think you're getting more. All right, Glenn. Hey, always appreciate it. Look forward to having you back on again real soon. And we'll talk more finances and investing stuff coming up.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least. Remember, the information we provide does not constitute legal, medical, financial, or tax advice. All information is the opinions of the host and his guests, and you should always seek the advice of a professional regarding any of these complex issues to make sure all circumstances of your situation are properly considered. Thanks again for listening to Intelligent Investing with Glenn Least. We'll be back real soon. Take care.